Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Death of Death, where we proclaim Christ's victory over sin, death, and everything else. I'm your host, Nick Stewart, and today we're finally finishing our series on Romans 5 and 6. Before we do that, I have some great news for you. I have launched a Patreon page, so now all of you who enjoy this show and would like to partner with me in making it happen can support us for just $4 a month. There are going to be a lot of benefits to being a member of my elect, which is what I'm calling the patrons, but I'm not ready to go forward with any of those things until I actually get some patrons. But when that happens, we'll have some early access to episodes, open communication and voting on episode topics, and deals on merchandise. Wait a minute, Nick, you don't have any merchandise. How could you possibly give us a deal on something that doesn't exist? Well, I'm still working on that, but if I get some patrons, then that would definitely be something that would push the process along. So go over to patreon.com/deathofdeath and sign up today. It's just $4 a month. It's about a cup of coffee. You know, people used to say the $3 Patreon was a cup of coffee, but coffee was $3 like 10 years ago. Coffee's like $4 now. So for the price of a cup of coffee a month, support Death of Death. I hope you're all staying healthy. I'm just on the cusp of becoming concerned about the coronavirus. If you had asked me a week ago, I would have scoffed, said it was no big deal, but I'm starting to change my tune just a little. It's still too early to tell, in my opinion, but I'm still at work. I'm still out and about. I was at the store today, so, you know, not as crazy as people made it sound. We learned last week that we're no longer under the law of sin and death. We're no longer being held to Adam's broken covenant of works. As Christians, we're under grace, but that doesn't mean that our conduct is relevant. The fact that we have been redeemed from death means we are by nature opposed to the things which result in death. That is the point that Paul is making in verse 15 of Romans 6, where we pick up today. Verse 15 says, "What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means." There's a concept in theology. I'm going to try not to butcher the Latin. It's known as simul justus et peccator. It means simultaneously justified and sinner. We are sinners who have been justified and made righteous in Christ, but we haven't been fully sanctified yet. So we live in this already and not yet, where we've been made righteous, but we're still sinners. We still live in a fallen world, and we don't hate our sin the way that we should. Because of this, we tend to misunderstand our position under grace. We tend to gravitate to one of two extremes. We either become insane legalists imposing unbiblical laws on ourselves and others, or we become antinomians who disregard the true law of God. But that doesn't always come in the form of outright rebellion against God. Most of the time, that posture toward God includes an admittance that what we're doing is wrong. We know that we did something wrong, but we have no actual repentance. We probably will commit that sin again. We'll do better next time, but we don't actually care in our thought process. We trick ourselves into thinking we can do those things as if they're not death to us. Our hearts only become harder and harder to this behavior the more we do it. We were once dead, and God raised us from death to life, but we love to sneak into the cemetery at night and lie in the empty grave we once inhabited. Verse 16 says, "Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin which leads to death, or of obedience which leads to righteousness?" This is a very important verse in understanding the Christian's relationship to sin. This verse tells us that you are a slave to whatever you obey. You can't be living in bondage to sin as a blood-bought believer, because there are only two options when it comes to our enslavement. It's God or it's sin. It's like worship. We don't get an option when it comes to whether or not we worship. We are programmed to worship regardless. Where we place our worship is really the debate. Will we worship God or will we worship other things? In the same way, we are either a slave to sin or a slave to God, so which one will we present ourselves to, which is the way verse 16 puts it. We're presenting ourselves to something as a slave. Sin leads to death. That's known as the law of sin and death, which we're finally going to see in verse 23. But obedience leads to righteousness. Now, obviously, we don't believe in works-based salvation, so we don't mean that if we're obedient, we'll become progressively righteous. It says in verse 18 that we've become slaves of righteousness. So obedience to that righteousness is the natural response of someone regenerated by the Spirit of God and given Christ's righteousness. One of the most striking things about this verse is the very beginning when it says, "Do you not know?" Paul presents this as something every Christian is expected to know. Anyone pondering whether Christians should be allowed to sin is expected to know that you cannot be a slave to sin after you've been bought out of that slavery by Christ and made a slave to righteousness. That's a much lighter burden, for it's no burden at all to be a slave to Jesus. It's freedom. True freedom is in slavery to Christ. The burden is to work tirelessly for your master, and the only wages you receive are death. Being freed by a good master so that you can do the good works that he's already prepared for you to do, that's no burden at all. Verse 17 says, "But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed." We should be thankful that although we were all once slaves of sin, because that's the natural condition of all men, he freed us from that slavery and transformed our hearts to be obedient to God. Instead of making us obedient robotically, he changes the nature of our hearts so that we are genuinely obedient to him and obedient to the revealed teaching of God in the Bible, which at the time of this writing would have been known as the teaching of the apostles, and he commits us to that teaching. Verse 18 says, "And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness." That's the glorious truth of it all. We're set free from sin, not just forgiven of it, although that's true, not just made into people who mechanically obey God and don't sin. We're set free from sin altogether. We're set free from the enslavement to it and our felt need to redeem ourselves from it. Now we use that freedom to serve God and obey his word. Verse 19 says, "I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations, for just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness leading to sanctification." Paul tells us that he's speaking in human terms. The Bible does this a lot. We can't comprehend God fully because that would mean our knowledge encompasses him. We can't encompass an infinite God. We can understand certain things about God, but as finite beings, we can only understand what God reveals to us. In the Bible, God reveals himself in human terms. That doesn't mean the Bible is inaccurate about the things that it says about God. The things it says still mean something, and we can trust what the Bible tells us. This verse also talks about lawlessness. The thing about lawlessness, which we learn here in verse 19, is that it compounds. Lawlessness leads to more lawlessness, and that's true. There is a compounding nature to sin. That's partly why it's so important for Christians to fight it. Believe me when I tell you that if there's sin in your life that you're not dealing with, it's not going to work itself out. It won't still just be there in 20 years. It will grow somehow. It will compound over and over, and eventually it will affect your life negatively, and maybe then you'll see why sin is so damaging. As selfish people, it's hard to see how sin is negative until it affects us that way. It might take a little time for the effects to come to fruition, but mark my words, it will happen. We see from this verse that we should all be striving for sanctification. Paul says elsewhere in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." Are you flipping through your Bible trying to decide which job to take or what variety of leopard print curtains to choose? Whatever the dilemma may be that you're facing, just know that this is the clearest statement we have from God about his will for our lives. What is God's plan for you? Sanctification. That's what. "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness." That's what verse 20 says. That freedom was only the illusion of freedom. Likewise, we only have the illusion of fruit in our unregenerate state. like the next verse says in verse 21, "But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death." The only fruit that we bear from sin is death. We're so close to verse 23 that I can almost taste it, so just hold tight. But here's another angle of the Christian's relationship to sin. Paul refers to our past sins as things we were ashamed of. We live in a culture where shame is a mostly negative thing, and I think I would agree that it is overall a bad thing, especially when people use it against each other. It's definitely not a fruitful exercise, but it is a good thing to be ashamed of sin. It's natural. It's good to have an aversion to the things that God hates, things God sent his son to die on the cross for. Trust that natural inclination to shame when you sin. It's just a natural indication that we shouldn't be party to such things. Verse 22, "But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life." True freedom comes by the Spirit when we're rescued from our slavery to sin and repurposed as slaves to God. This should affect the way we view ourselves. We are not our own. It makes me laugh when Christians argue for autonomy in the context of the Christian life. Autonomy means self-law. There is no room for autonomy from God. You will not see that in Scripture. In no way do we see, as creatures, ever. In no way do we, as creatures, ever have full autonomy. We're either slaves of sin or we're slaves to God. And now we're almost to verse 23, but in this verse, in verse 22, we see the words sanctification and its end, eternal life. That is the exact contrast to this oh-so-important verse here. Verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." That is the verse I've been quoting since episode 1. Finally, we got to it. The result of sin is death. The wages paid to the slaves of sin is death, but the wages paid to the slaves of God are eternal life. Jesus is our good master in the kingdom of God. There is no eternal life outside of him. It's eternal life freely given to him, not something we earn. Jesus has overcome sin and death so we can live freely in him. He has victory over sin, death, and everything else. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of our series on Romans 5 and 6. Thank you for listening all these weeks. I'm stoked to get into whatever's next. We're probably just going to have a few topical episodes like the one on optimism and the one on arguments. Probably do that for a while, but soon we'll have patrons and you can be voting on what topics we talk about. So go to patreon.com/deathofdeath to partner with us for just $4 a month. Follow at Death of Death Pod on Twitter and Instagram to keep in touch with us. Subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast app and leave a 5-star review. Share this episode on social media and tell some friends. Email me at deathofdeathpodcast@gmail.com. Go to deathofdeath.net and subscribe to the email list. I've been your host, Nick, here to tell you to face any virus foolish enough to face you. And if you're as committed to proclaiming the victory of Christ as I am, I'll be here to do it with you all again next week. Goodbye for now.